We're going to get started with a Coors Light Pole Award qualifying press conferences here at Phoenix Raceway for Sunday's Can-Am 500. We're joined by our second fastest qualifier, Denny Hamlin, driver of the number 11, FedEx Ground Toyota. Denny, why don't you just walk us through your lap out there that got you on the front row?
It was just short of great. It was close, second week in a row, second, but we're knocking on the door. We're fast. We're doing everything we need to do to put pressure on the other guys and try to get a win. Our car is obviously fast enough. Just got to tune it in tomorrow and get this thing going for 500K or something like that.
All right, we'll open up to questions for Denny. If you have a question, please raise your hand and we will get a mic. We'll start up here with Reed and then with Lee.
Reed Spencer, NASCAR Wire Service. With you in second and you see Brad up there in 16th, does that alter your approach to the race at all?
It doesn't alter it much. I didn't think, they were going to qualify that great, but they typically race pretty well here. So I'm not going to count on anything, not till we get to the end of the first stage and I see where we're at. But confident that starting right there, we should probably be up front all day.
Motorsport.com, they were talking about the move you made through the dog leg. You apparently cut it. What were you looking for, just trying to make the lap shorter?
Just shorter distance is all I try to accomplish there. I thought it was a little bit better for sure, but it also gave me a bad angle into turn three, which is kind of hard to estimate kind of where I needed to be on speed, and also had trash in my tires. I think it was a net gain. Obviously, it was faster than what we ran in any of the other sessions, so it's something we wanted to save for the last round we did, and just was barely not enough.
We'll go to Bob.
Bob Hockrist, ESPN.
Thank you for thinking my jokes are funny, Bob.
Maybe we just are on the same wavelength, which would be very scary.
I always think of us very similar guys.
You might not after this question, but there's a chance Chase Elliott might start behind you. So I was curious if you're worried.
Was I worried last weekend?
No, you weren't.
No, and I'm not worried this weekend. No. I'm not worried. Everyone up front is professionals, and we all have one job to do, and that's to win. Our objective is the same objective as his, is to go out there and win on Sunday. And you really can't worry about other guys. If you've got that in front of you and you're thinking about that, your chances of winning are slim to none.
We'll go to Wolfgang.
Danny, the qualifying was relatively late. The race is on daytime. When it was already dark, the qualifying, do you think it's a big difference? Was that condition-wise or grip-wise?
A little bit. I mean, the biggest problem I had in the first session was the sunlight. I couldn't see getting in turn one, so I had to run a little bit more conservative lap. But other than that, once we got to the second round, the front stretch was all shaded, and we could kind of see where we were at. I messed up my second lap on round two and only got one in, which is not what I was planning on, but somehow we kind of made it work. So the conditions didn't change that much. If you look at the lap times, the track maybe gained a slight amount of grip by going to night for the final round, but I think the wear on the tires meant more.
Good. Dustin?
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Obviously, you're chasing Brad for that final transfer spot. But do you have to be a little bit more aware of Ryan with what he did today?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we know that we have to beat him heads up, essentially through the stages and the finish. But I think that you kind of consider everyone, but I mean, you got to look at the person who's in front of you first. I definitely won't be looking behind until that moment comes where that person is overtaking me, whether it be maybe in the first stage or something. If Ryan gains more points, then now he's in front of me, so I'll be looking at him. But right now it's about looking forward.
Do we have any final questions for Denny? We'll go back to Dustin.
You were the only driver in the practice session today to run more than 10 consecutive laps to kind of go into more of a race trim. With two practices tomorrow, why was it Why was that the
choice?
A 9
a.m. practice was the biggest reason. Just the temperatures of the racetrack won't be where we're at in race trim until happy hour. So we might as well use that the tires today when we were going to be on the track about the same time as the start of the race. And the trucks had run two practices before us with the same tire. So it the track was identical to where we were going to be for the race. I didn't notice. Did anyone else? No. Yeah, I was a little surprised.
I'll go to Lee.
You guys had a Drivers Council meeting last Saturday. Is that one of the topics that came up as far as having practice going on when it's more relevant to the actual race?
Well, I think it wasn't necessarily a conversations about that as much as it was, the enhanced weekends themselves were, I think the overwhelming majority thought that having practices before and after races, like we had, say, at Martinsville, was very, very relevant to race conditions. I think from a TV standpoint, ratings are better when we qualify on Saturday and Sundays. That's a telltale sign right there that, that's what we need to be doing. So I think that it was not only a validation of, through the Fan Fest, the enhanced weekends being something that's great for the fans, but it's also good for the teams. It's good for the drivers. It's good for everyone that's in the sport. And it also gives these fans a lot to watch on Saturday instead of, just a race. It's tough to say what will, enhance the racing. I thought that the stages have done a phenomenal job mixing up the strategy, having more lap leaders, things like that. If it wasn't for Truex, the racing would be great. But really, I think that it's really given us an opportunity to raise the intensity for all 400 or 500 miles. I mean, I've never... we get to a point now where I guarantee you 50 laps in last year and you're letting guys go because, hey, I'll get them after we make a pit stop or something. But now it's like, well, you're 25 laps away from the end of a stage, so you have to press harder. It makes you have to be on your toes for the entire race. It's not just, sitting around waiting until the end. I think that Super Speedways is probably where it made the racing the best from the green flag to the checkered.
All right, Danny, thanks for joining us, and good luck on Sunday again.